News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig in FM Talk 106.5, and it is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on your Monday morning. Checking radar, rain is streaming up from the Gulf of Mexico. Also, a front is moving down from north of us. So, as Dr. Bill said, we're going to be a bit of a squeeze here. Next couple of days, rain, maybe even a thunderstorm. But overall, once the week rolls into the midweek and into the weekend, it looks like it's going to be in really good shape. Big story yesterday, I thought, was Donald Trump at CPAC. They kind of, in a way, Jeff will know more about this. He was down there, Jeff Porcio. We were broadcasting live from down in Orlando. CPAC, by the way, generally in Washington, D.C., but it was in Orlando because of COVID. They thought they could, I guess there was more restrictions in D.C., mm-hmm. basically, right?
Yeah.
But it seemed it was all coming to a crescendo with Donald Trump speaking yesterday. You had to wait for him a little bit, like a young lady making sure that she was dressed just right. It was supposed to happen at 2:40, and then I was going back and forth with the golf, and yeah. going back and forth, and then it was after 3 o'clock, still waiting. But I think everybody, most people down there in Orlando were happy to wait. And one thing that I noticed, and I haven't read yet anybody else, and on the text line, feel free if you want to call 343-0106. It wasn't so much his tone was different. One word was different as I saw him address that crowd. Many of those people are, they're not just the voters or the fans of Trump that would show up at the rallies. Mm-hmm. They're people who, many of them already are elected officials, policymakers of some sort. I guess there's probably lobbyists down there. I don't know what the makeup is of everybody down there. But he talked about we, mm-hmm. whereas in his rallies, he would generally talk about, you know, I've done this, I've done that. And, of course, it was to adoring fans, and they loved it.
Right.
And I noticed yesterday, if anybody else noticed that as well, or if I'm blowing it out of proportion, feel free to tell me, but he seemed to be very inclusive with giving credit to the entire room, like, we did this together, and we had this accomplishment, talked about the vaccinations and how quickly warp speed worked. And, again, that was a we, where generally Donald Trump would talk about what I did.
Yeah, I think that was a good find from you just kind of listening to that, because I didn't notice it initially, but yeah. going back and listening to some of the statements, it sure seems like he was being more inclusive
yeah.
for what happened over the last 4 years.
That's what I saw.
And, you know, it was interesting because traditionally the CPAC involves all conservatives, right? Or most conservatives, depending, even if you're, you know, what some would call a moderate conservative, or on the other side, some of the more far-right conservatives kind of all gather under that one tent.
Yeah, and they exchange ideas, and it's not so contentious. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an exchange of ideas, but this year, not really that way.
Yeah, it seemed like with former President Trump slated to be, you know, the keynote speaker yesterday, that kind of elbowed maybe some other Republicans out of the way.
Like, you're not welcome.
Yeah, and they decided early on they wouldn't be coming to CPAC. I know
yeah.
McConnell wasn't there. I don't think Kinzinger was
no.
there, who was one of the more outspoken.
Kinzinger can't even go to family reunions.
That's
we heard
right.
that story last week.
Yeah.
His like 12 cousins came out against Kinzinger.
Yeah, so I'd love to know, anyone listening, your take on Trump's speech from yesterday. You can give us a call or text, 251-343-0106. And would you, if former President Trump runs for office again, would you find yourself likely to vote for him in the primaries, or likely to back maybe someone who's the opposite of Trump in the Republican Party in the primaries? And then if Trump is to win the primary election for the Republicans going into 2024, would you vote for him at the ballot box in the main election?
We know one guy that would.
Who's that?
Mitch McConnell.
Yes, he did say.
He was pressed on it on whose show was that? 5 o'clock on Fox on Friday. That's
yeah. Was he on Bret Baier?
He was on Bret Baier, and I think Baier was even kind of surprised by it. But he said if McConnell hedged a little bit in that he said if he wins the nomination,
mm-hmm.
yes, I will. So it wasn't like, and you made a good point on Friday, like he would be backing Trump all along the way.
Right.
But if Trump got the nomination, he would back the Republican, which would be, in that case, Trump.
And you pointed me to this other story, Senator Rick Scott out of Florida. He kind of sounds almost like McConnell there, where Scott said he's going to back any incumbent senator in any races that they see in 2022. That's even if, like, another candidate comes out of the woodwork that would be a pro-Trump, pro-MAGA supporter.
Right. If Trump anoints a challenger and they get momentum in that, and yet Scott, I was kind of surprised by that.
Yeah. So only a month into Biden's presidency, and this really started like the beginning of campaign season for Trump yesterday. He hit President Biden and hit him hard on a number of factors, and basically said this first month of the Biden administration has been a disaster.
Joe Biden has had the most disastrous first month of any president in modern history. That's true. Already the Biden administration has proven that they are anti-jobs, anti-family, anti-borders, anti-energy, anti-women, and anti-science.
And if you thought former President Trump was going to let the 2020 election just go by without a word, he continued his railing against election integrity yesterday.
This election was rigged, and the Supreme Court and other courts didn't want to do anything about it. We need election integrity and election reform immediately. Republicans should be the party of honest elections that can give everyone confidence in the future of our country. Without honest elections, who has confidence? Who has confidence?
And another major topic that we've been discussing, well, at least for a couple months, is now that former President Trump is out of office, would they possibly start a new political party? Remember the word coming out? Was it
right?
The MAGA party?
And I love when he talks about it. He goes into a certain character voice, and that would be the mainstream fake news media.
Yeah.
I love the quote.
So here's Trump saying he will not start a new party.
We're not starting new parties. You know, they kept saying, he's going to start a brand new party. We have the Republican Party. It's going to unite and be stronger than ever before. I am not starting a new party.
And finally, while Trump did not outright say that he would run for president in 2024, he strongly hinted at that possibility.
With your help, we will take back the House. We will win the Senate. And then a Republican president will make a triumphant return to the White House. And I wonder who that will be. I wonder who that will be.
So pretty clear there that former President Trump plans to run for president again in 2024. Even though he said, I wonder who that will be, it was pretty clear.
Yes, yes. it was as close to one of his rallies as you can do. You've been exonerated by David Preston, by the way. David talks about, yes, I would vote for Donald Trump again, mostly to stick it to the mainstream liberal media. And I replied to him, like Dalton, I was just checking to see if he threw you in with the mainstream media.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
And David says, no. Like Caitlin Collins or CBS, I was just messing with him. But anyway, you've been exonerated as being fake news media.
Thank God. I've actually never been accused of being any kind of media, even though I've been on the radio for years now. Larry answered our question. He said, yes, I would vote for Trump primary and election. And they had a CPAC poll like they do every year.
Okay.
For CPAC. I can give you the CPAC poll numbers when we get back here. What percentage of people there would vote for Trump come 2024?
How many people were there, too? Look into that. How many people were in attendance?
50 or 60, I think.
All wearing masks?
I think there were thousands there.
I think so, too, yeah. FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig at 15 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5.
But one of the things we did, I think, before any other state was protect nursing.
All right, text line humming.
Whoop, whoop.
343-0106, Dan and Dalton and FMTalk1065.com. There's also interesting things you can find right there, like our 1-800-GOT-JUNK poll question. And our three big things are available there as well. So Ricky's off the Trump train.
Yeah, huh? Count. FM Talk 106.5 texter and caller du jour, Ricky, said, if you can't beat them, Trump just joined them, in my book. I won't ever vote for Trump, and I believe the Freemasons own and play both sides. So Ricky says
he's off. He's out.
Trump is basically a Democrat in his book now, and he would not vote for him. And Ricky wouldn't be alone in saying that he wouldn't vote for Trump when you look at the CPAC poll. So they do this every year at the conservative convention. They poll those that are in attendance just to kind of get a gauge on how things look for the upcoming elections. And in this latest poll from CPAC, they said 68% of the people that voted said that they do want Trump to run again in 2024. Remember that number used to be a lot higher. So 68% said they want Trump to run again, but the same people gave former President Trump a 97% job approval rating.
Okay.
The other 32% said Trump should either not run or they had no opinion on the matter. 55%, they had a separate poll there of possible GOP nominees for president for 2024, and Trump was the choice of 55% of the attendees in the presidential polling. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis actually came in second in this polling at 21%. All the rest of the candidates were in the single-digit numbers. And when they took Trump out of the mix for 2024 candidates, DeSantis came in first with 43% of the vote. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem came in second with 11%, and Donald Trump Jr., 8% came in third. So kind of an interesting look at the CPAC numbers. And we were just talking with Mark Holliday. He came up and he said, you know, they do these CPAC numbers every time, and they rarely, you know, we've still got, what, 3 years and change before the campaign hits full force for the 2024 presidential election. So a lot of things will change before then. But it's just kind of interesting looking at the numbers now.
It is. It was an interesting weekend. It really was. It'll be interesting with Jeff's show coming up here at 9 o'clock, since he was right down there in the middle of it, his impressions. You know, and the thing about it is, you say, you know, we're a long way from 2024. Yeah, but we're not a long way from midway through 2023, mm-hmm. or earlier than that, actually, when money is being raised, machines are being built. So we're not that, you know, it'll get here before you know it, lining up who the candidates are going to be in 2024.
And traditionally, I would say most presidential elections go the way of, you know, if it's a great economy, whoever the incumbent is normally wins re-election. If the incumbent has overseen a democracy where the economy is on its heels, you know, mm-hmm. when things are looking bad, then usually it's the opposing candidate who wins. I think this past election was a bit different than most, first off, because of who was involved and how former President Trump can, you know, boil some blood on both sides. But also, he had a lot of, you know, rabid supporters.
He did.
But he also had this pandemic through and I think really changed everything.
Without the pandemic, he's reelected.
My opinion, even before the 2020 election, was, in my mind, I don't see how the economy won't take at least a bit of a step back once we start to recover from the pandemic. Now, some people say it'll be like the Roaring Twenties and things will be great. The economy will be humming again. But I'm just looking at all this money that's being poured in from the federal government. And in my feeble mind, which I have no economic smarts, macroeconomic, microeconomic, name it, I don't know a whole lot about it.
Give it your best shot anyway.
But I don't see how the economy won't take a bit of a hit from all the stimulus money being spent. So in my mind, even if Trump had won the 2020 election, I think the opposing party will probably come out better in 2024. Well, now the Democrats hold the office.
They do.
If things start to take a turn in 2022, 2023, inflation starts to really hit, I don't see how Republicans wouldn't be getting a longer look at the ballot box just by having Democrats in office. So with Trump, you know, he's going to be campaigning from here on. Even though Sunday he didn't say that he was running for president, he basically said that he would. It's going to be a tough sell for now President Biden. Whoever ends up running for office for the Democrats in 2024, they're going up against someone who basically has an extra year or 2 years of campaigning for him.
Well, you can't imagine Biden in 4 years is going to be fit to run for president, really. I mean, I'm not bashing the guy, but he's lost a step already.
Yeah.
You mentioned DeSantis in one of the polls. If you took Trump out of the poll, he was considered a front runner mm-hmm. for president. If, again, Trump's out of the poll, he would be considered a front runner by the CPAC vote. He was on Fox over the weekend, and he was talking, well, it's not really, he doesn't really, it's not a thinly veiled shot at New York and Cuomo, but this is DeSantis talking about a quote-unquote flawed assumptions about overcrowded hospitals. That's what led New York State to put their patients that were in nursing homes that were then in hospitals back into the nursing homes.
Yeah.
And DeSantis said the numbers that he saw never gave him the impression that was the thing to do. This is Ron DeSantis from over the weekend.
So one of the things we did, I think, before any other state was protect nursing homes. So we prevented people from visiting for a time. But then I think more importantly, we barred hospitals from discharging sick nursing home residents back into the nursing homes. As you know, other states did the opposite and ordered those patients back. We viewed that as something that would be very hazardous. And so I said, you know what? If I have to build a field hospitals all across the state, I will do that before I send these patients back into nursing homes and endanger all these elderly people.
And that dovetails us into Andrew Cuomo, which now the nursing home scandal. Is it on the back burner with his current scandal?
It might be.
He's now got a second former aide, said she was sexually harassed by the New York governor, who responded with a statement Saturday evening saying he never made advances toward her and never intended to be inappropriate. Charlotte Bennett, a health policy advisor in the Democratic governor's administration until November, told the New York Times Cuomo asked her inappropriate questions about her sex life. Another former aide, Lindsay Boylan, a former deputy secretary for economic development and a special advisor to the governor, recently accused Cuomo of subjecting her to an unwanted kiss and inappropriate comments. Cuomo denied the allegations. This is New York State Senator Alexandria Biagio, who evidently she's heard and seen enough.
Frankly, something that not only signals to me that it is a hostile working environment, but it is really a manipulative and abusive use of power over someone.
That's the thing, is the power that you hold when you are a 60-year-old governor of the state of New York. Mm-hmm. Very powerful position.
Yeah.
And you're talking to someone who's basically just a couple of years from being an intern, and whatever conversations you're having with her, they've got to be on the up and up.
Oh, yeah.
There is no excuse for that at all. He might come from a different era where that was all well and good, you know, 10, 20 years ago. It's certainly not considered well and good now, and these stories are pretty concerning.
Yeah, and now the investigation has kind of been taken out of Cuomo's hands and placed into the hands of New York's Attorney General. And I guess yesterday Cuomo finally acknowledged these allegations for the first time. He said that his behavior had been, quote, misinterpreted as unwanted flirtation. But my, how things have changed since June or July or even after that of 2020, when people were talking about him as maybe the Democratic candidate who could jump in to the election.
Supplant Biden.
Yeah. When things were looking rocky with Biden during the primary voting. So Cuomo was a big name in Democratic politics. And Jeff Poor on the Jeff Poor Show last week kind of alluded to this a little bit, but it's interesting. It's almost like Cuomo has gotten on the wrong side of a number of powerful Democrats who are kind of trying to, at least it seems, push him out of office for some of these allegations. It's not just Republicans.
That is the thing, too, man. In politics, that's a lesson for us all right here. Things can change like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Crown Prince is now maybe on his way out.
Yeah.
Dan and Dalton, 830 FM Talk 106.5. We'll get your phone calls, 343-0106.
.836 FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Coming up in just a few minutes, turning up your voice, 343-0106. You can text or call that number. But right now, it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing great. And the start of a new month. It is March the 1st. Time to head over to McConnell Automotive. What do you think?
That's right. I want to thank everybody for a great February. I mean, we set some records February. We got some great trades. We're going to be getting those up online. You know, check those out at McConnellAutomotive.com. Or if you see anything you like, give Gene and I a call, 251-476-4141. Give Robert on the new car side a call. If y'all see a new car online, we got a few trucks in here since I've been gone, but I'm back and sitting here looking over the inventory right now. We ought to get it in the shop. We're going to check on the rebates. Got a conference call with GM here shortly, and we'll tell y'all about the rebates next week, tomorrow. So, like I said, check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
Also, talk a little bit about your body shop there. They do top-notch work.
Oh, yeah. It looks like it's going to be a little rainy this week. And if you have any an accident or anything, call Gary and the guys and girls back there. They'll take care of all your insurance needs and fix your car up first class.
All right. Good stuff. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
So here comes Johnson & Johnson into the mix, right? U.S.
Yep.
Getting a third vaccine to prevent COVID-19, as the Food and Drug Administration on Saturday cleared a Johnson & Johnson shot that works with just one dose instead of two. Anthony Fauci, he's somebody we've gotten to know pretty well over the last year. You had an interesting quote from him a year ago on this date, huh?
Yeah. Because last year, remember, was a leap year, so we had an extra day in February, and someone online was pointing to Fauci a year ago. Remember, this was
2 weeks before it hit the fan.
Yeah, because I remember, was it March 13th, where we started seeing NBA teams
right.
leave the court, and then
SEC tournament.
SEC tournament. Yeah, so things really, I mean, we knew about it. I think about this time last year, were we talking about that cruise ship that was coming into port that had all this?
We were aware of it. We were aware of it. Its presence out west in Washington State.
And the quote from Fauci 1 year ago today, before he became the household name that he is now, he basically said, no reason to change anything you're doing the way you're doing it right now, that it won't be any extra danger for you in these coronavirus infested, I don't know. Basically, what the point of that tweet was that Fauci didn't know what he was talking about
right.
a year ago. And
right.
to kind of go back after the fact and pretend that Fauci knew all along, had been warning people, that's not necessarily true. But then again, who did know what we were dealing with one year ago?
But we knew we were dealing with something.
Right.
And even there were, up in Montgomery, there is a some sort of a infectious disease group up there. That's what they deal with. Probably it's got to do with the health director. I happen to know they were not even panicked as late as the 10th or so of March because we had chili cook-off here in Mobile on that day.
I remember.
And it was a slam-bang party. And it seemed to be like, nah, we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Well, 3 or 4 days later, we were not okay. As far as what vaccine to get, Anthony Fauci says now, believe him or not, don't be picky.
If I were not vaccinated and I was going to go into a clinic and they said, hey, we have J&J now, or you can wait 3 weeks or so to get another one, I would take the one that is available to me now.
So that's Dr. Anthony Fauci saying, don't be picky. Looking at our text line, Paul says, Fauci seems to like his time in the spotlight. I believe Democrats will want COVID very much still being an issue for the 2022 midterms. He said, so mail-in voting can continue. And that's a good opinion there from Paul, and I think one that's held by a number of conservatives looking forward to the 2022 midterms. And by the way, did you know that Alabama may be looking at an expanded absentee voting rule if Secretary of State John Merrill has his way? He's been advocating to allow no excuses absentee voting. And we've heard Congressman Mo Brooks, he put out a statement saying he opposes that kind of voting. In the past, you've been able to absentee vote in Alabama as long as you had a valid excuse to not be at the ballot box on election day. And John Merrill, a man who talks about the voting numbers every single time you get him on the air, he seems to want to allow non-excuse absentee voting from here forward.
But, yeah, that doesn't feel or sound right to me.
And, you know, there's been a lot of talk, and we will continue that talk, about the $1.9 trillion stimulus bill, which passed in the House on Saturday morning. But there's another bill the Democrats are trying hard to pass. I think it is number one, like H.R. Bill 1. And the leader for the Democrats in the House, Nancy Pelosi, this is something that she tried to pass going into the 2020 elections. And it's basically expanded mail-in voting, makes it much easier for a lot of people to vote in the United States. And I think even once, quote-unquote, felons finish serving their time and have paid their fines, it would make felons eligible to vote, too. Republicans, once they turned that down back in 2018 or 2019, whenever she was trying to get that passed, that was considered a huge win for the Republicans at that point. Well, now the Democrats hold the House and the Senate and the White House. There's been an extended push, and it's basically what what the rules were changed to because of the pandemic going into the 2020 elections, it would make a lot of those rules standard rules from here on out, even when there is no pandemic to be concerned about. So that's another bill that's making its way through the House and will soon be seen in the Senate, that a number of conservatives who feel like election integrity is put at risk by these rules would certainly hate to see that passed.
You know, I just don't I don't see why these policies have got to be I just think the Democrats are going above and beyond to be divisive at a time when it's really not necessary. You want it, you're in, but to you know that the Republicans and conservatives are sensitive to the way we vote.
Mm-hmm.
That voice has been loud and clear, correct?
Right.
Like, during the pandemic, we modified things, and now as a conservative, they're thinking, I'm not so sure that worked out for us, right?
Right.
And now to try and say, no, this is the standard way it's going to be operated, maybe that's just politics, but to me, that's kind of divisive, and I'm not in favor of that.
Well, you know, it's kind of like when new taxes are levied on people, you will rarely see those taxes, I might have said taxis, when taxes are levied on people, you rarely see those taxes taken back off of the people. When someone new
once you're in
office, once they start taking that money from people, they rarely stop. And it's kind of the same thing here with these voting rules. Because of the pandemic, and you know, a lot of that was valid, a lot of that was not valid, blaming the pandemic for the change in so many of these rules from state to state. But I don't see why, if it benefits one party over the other, and so many of these rules do benefit the Democrat Party, why would they be in a rush to change things back to the way they were, especially after having such a successful campaign season through 2020? So I don't know why Democrats would want to change it. But all we've heard since Biden and even before Biden was elected was unity, unity, unity. And he said he was going to reach across the aisle, try to get some Republicans on board with a number of different things that they were doing. Since then, though, we've seen the Democrats take advantage of having the House and having the Senate and having the White House and just try to get as much passed as they can through strictly party line votes.
You know, you and I both do a lot of watching a number of news outlets, try to get the story as straight as we can. And I'm with you. The actions are not unifying at all to this point, right?
I agree.
Paul is in Mobile and would like to hey, Paul, what's on your mind?
Well, you said it's not typical and that the of elections because of the economy and people, the way people voted. But what is strange to me is their continued support for Donald Trump when he became the first president since Herbert Hoover to lose the presidency, the House, and the Senate. Usually that would be a death knell.
Mm-hmm. It
so
would.
Why are they still supporting a president who cost them all that?
You would have to ask somebody that is hell-bent in that corner, but there's Dalton, what do you think?
Well, I think the people that support Trump and have supported him through thick and thin, even if they don't feel that the election was outright stolen, like Trump has said it was, I think that they look at a number of these rules that were kind of created with the pandemic raging on, and like I said, whether they were valid or not, they feel that that gave Democrats the upper hand, and that if there had been no pandemic, that Trump wouldn't have seen the loss of the White House and wouldn't have seen the losses in the Senate. So I think the people that plan on voting for Trump going forward feel
think Trump created that when he already doubted the results before any results were in?
Yeah, there's no doubt.
He spent months recording. He spent months putting down the results before they even were coming in.
I agree 100%. I think what you're looking at is the Trump supporters not only oppose most or any Democrat, they oppose a lot of Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Trump supporters that I talk to are so much against what is considered the swamp, the way politics have been done. You can see that division in the Republican Party, and the only reason that the Republicans seem to be coming around to Trump in such a wonderful fashion is they're realizing he's got more power, and he's got power not just over Democrats, but over other Republicans as well. And I think that's where we're at right now.
Well, that happened because he infiltrated the state's party instead of the national party.
There you go.
You might be right on that.
Appreciate the call, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. We're trying to examine the Trump mania is very interesting.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you. I've had an education on it since coming to FM Talk 106.5. And it's a lot of people that feel very disenfranchised and not heard, and Trump is the one voice that's, no matter how he acts some certain times, they'll take it because of, he is their voice.
Yeah, well said. When we get back, let's bring it back local. The Safer at Home order expires at the end of this week. Will Governor Ivey lift the ordinances? We'll talk about it when we get back. Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5.
Say some traffic's better than no traffic, and there is Kane with your traffic on FM Talk 106.5. Morning from Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig, y'all. It is Monday. We'll talk about the mask restrictions and requirements and how that's about to come to an end here in Alabama, or is it? Talk about that here in a moment. Hey, are you confident that your investments are working for you? And would it not be nice to know that you don't have to go far? Find that guidance to help you make all that happen. Five Rivers Group at Morgan Stanley, right here in Mobile. They can help you create a plan for your wealth. They can help you manage your investments. Also help you work toward a comfortable retirement. And you can schedule an appointment anytime. You can call Michael Barnett at Five Rivers Group. He's a financial advisor there at 251-470-1092. That's Michael Barnett at 470-1092 at Five Rivers Group. Morgan Stanley, Smith Barney, LLC, member, SIPC.
Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show today, he was at CPAC from basically Thursday of last week through the weekend and has a number of interviews coming up this hour. In the next hour, he'll talk with Tennessee Senator Bill Hagerty, also a congresswoman out of the state of Florida, Kat Kamak, also a congressman from Texas, Ronnie Jackson, and an Alabama congressman, Barry Moore. They will be the guests in the first 2 hours with Jeff today. Then J.C. Love, the Montgomery County probate judge, and former state representative Paul DeMarco. So you don't want to miss the Jeff Poor Show today. And maybe Jeff will talk about what may or may not be happening this week as the latest orders from Governor Kay Ivey and Dr. Scott Harris
expire
Friday, March 5th. Now, we're still under a amended Safer at Home order. And remember, they had, it's been over a year now that they basically had the stay at home order, then the Safer at Home order, and then the next one, and they had it red light, yellow light, and green light. The green light would have been Safer Apart. And we are still, and have not gone to Safer Apart yet. We've been stuck in the Safer at Home order for...
So what's the difference?
At least 8 or 10 months. Well, the difference is, of course, the stay-at-home order, so many businesses were closed, mm-hmm. and so many people were just told, stay at home. I mean, it's right there in the order. The Safer at Home order kind of opened up a lot of restaurants and other businesses to at least partial, mm-hmm. you know, I think it was 25%, maybe 50% that you were, I think it might still be actually a 25% occupancy. And the mask rule, that was part of the Safer at Home ordinance and making sure people stay 6 feet apart. But we're seeing a number of states and Arkansas, Texas,
Missouri,
Florida, Missouri. Some of these governors have already at least partially lifted the restrictions on their states, and some have gone all the way. I know Asa Hutchinson with Arkansas on Friday, he's the governor of Arkansas, he lifted most of their restrictions that were placed on businesses, and he would said he plans on ending the mask mandate in Arkansas next month if the state's test positivity or the hospitalizations are low. Now, the number that Asa Hutchinson put on it was a 10% positivity rate. He said if we get and stay below 10%, then the mask mandate will go away as well. And this is after he lifted the ordinances on the businesses. Well, when you look at Alabama and the mask mandate is still in order, mm-hmm. businesses are still at limited occupancy, what will Governor Ivey and Dr. Scott Harris do this week? You look at our positivity rates, and the 14-day average is down below 10%. We're at 8% positivity rate over the last 2 weeks on average. Now, the 7-day positivity rate is a bit higher than that. It's at 12%, so not quite at the 10% that H. Hutchinson was talking about. But I think Ivey even kind of alluded to, when she would speak with the press, she was on Capital Journal two Fridays ago, and spoke to the press a little bit before that, and she's kind of acting like she may soon lift the Safer at Home order. Now, whether that'll come this week or not, I have no idea. I feel that she's more likely to go the same route that Arkansas has gone, and maybe this week lift some of the ordinances around businesses until restaurants are allowed to bring more people in, have more people eating their food. Same for businesses, allow more people to come in and spend their money inside the state. I have a feeling it's still too early for Ivy to lift the mask mandate. I feel like that'll go on at least one more month, but I could be wrong.
I know, and I do as well. Here's what I'm thinking. Finally, we're starting to see momentum with vaccinations.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly. But project what March is going to be as opposed to the first 2 months of this year. March could be a big surge in people getting vaccinated. Not just around the country, but just boil it down to the state of Alabama.
Right.
If suddenly we have all these vaccinations during the month of March and the rate goes way down and that herd immunity that we're thinking is a lot higher than certainly the guy with the opinion in the Wall Street Journal a couple of Fridays ago talked about herd immunity more than likely being a lot higher than we even and medical experts realize
right.
or give credit to. Now you're getting to April. You're mm-hmm. getting the warm, almost hot weather. Maybe that would be the time, because I just think that the vaccinations, again, have come off so slowly. This is probably going to be the month where we have the big surge, and that would give her political sway to be able to say, mm-hmm. we're almost there.
Yeah.
But we're not there yet. That'd be my guess.
I'm on board with you completely. I think she's going to say, we're well on our way, and then kind of leave that as
another month. It's working. Right?
One more month.
Yeah.
We could do it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you look at Alabama compared to the rest of the nation, we're still really low as far as vaccinations are concerned. We're much higher than we were a week ago or even 2 weeks ago.
Don't compare us to ourselves.
According to the Bloomberg vaccine tracker, they say that 6.2% of Alabama is now fully vaccinated, and nearly 13% of the population has gotten at least one shot. And that begs the question, when will they lower the age for vaccinations also? We were at 75 and older for at least a few weeks.
You're looking at me.
65 and older? Will Dan be in the next group of people who's allowed to get the vaccine?
Yeah, they go to 55 or they go to 60. Either way, I'm in. And then I start finding online. What was that? That was a really good place that you do talk about being able to find vaccinations in one spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a new website out, vaccinefinder.org. And you type your zip code in. You put whether you want to search 5 miles away, 10 miles, 25, or 50. And it'll let you know every place within that mileage where you can get the vaccine. Pretty cool site to check out, vaccinefinder.org.
Very, very, very helpful and maybe hopeful. It's 859 FM Talk 106.5. Thank you, Dalton.
All right, Dan.
We're on again tomorrow at 6 o'clock, so set your alarm, young man.
I'll try to be here.
Jeff Poore on the way next.